Aren't you glad we serve a God who loves us? Aren't you glad that when things seem to be going haywire, we can call on the name of Jesus? I'm amazed how good our God is, time and time again, that he sent Jesus, his son, for us, to die for us, because we needed him to be reconciled to him. God, we are so thankful that you sent your son Jesus. God, we're thankful that there's power in the name of Jesus, and that we can call on Jesus whenever we need. That we can call out in help in the name of Jesus. We can call out when we're feeling attacked in the name of Jesus. And he's there. And he's fighting our battles. And he's not, God, we're just thankful that he's not just fighting our battles, but he's victorious in our battles. God, we are so thankful for the victory that you brought. God, we're thankful for the victory that Jesus brought when he died on the cross and when he rose again. God, we are so thankful. God, I'm thankful right now that I get to experience your goodness and your forgiveness, Father, and I know each and every individual here today is as well. And God, I pray that we have opportunities to share that victory with others. That joy with others. That fact that we can just call on the name of Jesus. God, we thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thanks, team, for leading us this morning. So, I forgot to mention we were doing announcements that my wife and kids aren't going to be here next week either, because next week happens to be my dad's 60th birthday party and my mother-in-law's 75th birthday party. So I'm not going to be there for either of those, because I have one of these things that I do. Part of kind of trying to reach out into the community, into the province, is I sit on that board for soccer that we talked about last year for the province. And next week just happens to be our AGM weekend. So I get to miss my dad's big birthday, but he's not retiring. So is it really a big birthday at 60? Every birthday is big, but when he's retiring, I'll be there for his retirement party. When I turn 40, I don't know, we'll see. See how many tears I shed. You know, it's funny because I remember when I was turning 20 and I felt like, oh boy, it's over. Like, I'm on the downward stretch here. And now 40s, this year, I almost threw up my mouth, sorry. 40s this year, and it's like, what's the big deal? It's just a number. I feel great. And I'm sure that my dad feels 60, feels great now. And you know, yeah, that age thing is just a number, but it took me a while to get over that, and I don't know. You know what I mean? You know, you guys know what I mean, right? It's just a number. It's exciting, but it's exciting to celebrate birthdays, so I'm sure he's excited. They're excited for that. We took my mother-in-law to the Disneyland the first time on her 70th birthday, and it was a lot of fun. We got to even have a cake, princess cake, with the princess in the middle, and the cake being the cake, and her dress was the icing. It was a good cake. I think my girls played with a Barbie. But anyway, just wanted to give you guys a heads up on where they are next week. But the last few weeks, last number of weeks, we've been talking about NCD, or Natural Church Development, right? And we've been talking about these 8 quality characteristics that churches who are healthy have. And it's about looking at the context and how we can get healthy in here so as a church we can be more effective out there, right? That's what we want. And the NCD process found that churches are effectively living out these 8 qualities are the most effective out there. So further than that, having these qualities are good, but having them in the right way is better, right? I think I've said that statement every single week. So it's like healthy churches, they don't just have leadership, right? What do they have? They have leadership that is empowering. They don't just have ministry, but they have ministry that is gift-based, right? And remember my talk from a couple weeks ago, we're going to start diving into those gifts. If you don't know what your gifts are, or maybe you do, and maybe you want to see if God's got some new gifts developing in you, we're going to be working through some of that, and we're going to be doing a series coming up called Conversations with the Holy Spirit, and we're going to be talking about gifts. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. And then we talked about spirituality, and we want spirituality that is passionate. And we want structures in the church that are effective. And if you remember, this is the one that I talked about that's probably the most controversial, for lack of better terms. It's the one that gets most people's feathers up, their dander up, right? Because let's face it, in churches, the structures that we set up in some cases become religious. And that's not right. That's not what we want. The only thing that is what is important, the most important thing is what? Who Jesus is, who God is, that Jesus came to earth, died for our sins, rose again, and the only way to heaven is through Jesus. That's really the most important thing. Not that service starts at 10 or 10:30, whether we have green chairs or purple chairs or yellow chairs or pink pews like old Elam used to have, doesn't matter. What matters is Jesus. Then we talked about worship service. We talked about inspirational worship service. And we talked about how services should be fun. We want fun services. And by that, I mean we want services that are inspiring. Inspirational comes from that Latin word inspiratio, which means the Spirit flows into you. When you're being inspired, isn't that fun? Or is it not fun? I think it's fun. When you're being inspired, when the Spirit's flowing into you, how can you not have joy? How can you not get excited? I want us to continue having some Spirit flowing in our services. And Mary and the music team did a great job of that, leading us into that today. And then we talked about small groups. And we talked about small groups that are holistic. Heads means understanding doctrine, having teaching. Hands, which is service. And then hearts, spiritual experience. And that's where we want to get to more and more with what we call holistic small groups. And we also discussed last week that it doesn't mean every Wednesday our small group meets. It means we have a hot dog roast in the back of Lolly Lane's yard, or we go quadding. I don't know if anybody quads, but we all get five or six of us together. We go quadding. We share some time of encouragement. Maybe we go clean up a trail. Maybe we go help somebody picking garbage on a ditch, and we just hang out and encourage each other. Or the music team when they rehearsed and practiced this morning. Small groups. Each of these is a small group. It doesn't mean that we need to organize small groups. It means we need to get together and take opportunities when the church has events to come together and gather and encourage. Have small groups. Bless. Use our hands and serve. Right? Okay. Good. Now we're going to talk about one of the biggest success factors of healthy churches, and it's to meet the needs of non-Christians. So this week we're going to talk about need-oriented evangelism. It shouldn't take a big research project to convince you guys that church growth is not possible without evangelism. Would you agree? If we want to grow in here, do we not need to reach out there? Now, as I've said multiple times throughout this series, it's not about filling these seats, but we want to have an impact out there. That's the important part. We want to have people's hearts changed for Jesus, right? Is that not our purpose? How else would the church grow if we did not share the gospel, though? And I'm not saying Rosetown Community Church. I'm saying the Church of Jesus. That's what we're talking about here. Now, this process of evangelism and evangelism as a whole is one of our objectives as the body of Christ. That's our prime objective as the body of Christ. And as we read in the book of Matthew, we read about Jesus and everything he did. We read about how Jesus taught people. He healed people. He blessed people. He cared for them. He met their needs. Did he not? Time and time again, Jesus met needs. Then we end the book of Matthew with a very clear set of directions. So Jesus' final direction said this in Matthew 28:16-20. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some of them doubted. Jesus came and told the disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and in earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations." Let me just pause and let's reread that sentence again, just to make sure we're reading it right. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all of the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the ends of the ages." So we need to make disciples of Jesus. Evangelism is necessary. Now, I told you guys last week I'm taking this class, this Bible school class, and I'm out of practice with school. I'm out of practice with writing papers and how to structure a cover page to look pretty for them and how to use footnotes properly. And they've changed Word now, so it doesn't even make sense anymore with the numbering, but that's okay. I'm learning. But what I'm also learning is I'm studying Pentecostalism and the history of the church in Canada, which has been very interesting, very good. But I jump back to the kind of the beginning of the Pentecostal movement in North America. And I look at where that started. And we're not going to dive into the details of that, the history here in North America. But what I want to say is, there was a need how this started. A fellow by the name of Parham, he had suffered, and I don't know what his symptoms were, but he had rheumatic fever earlier, and he was suffering through the consequences of that rheumatic fever. And he had been praying and was supernaturally healed one day. And at the time, he was a Methodist pastor, and that flipped him to become part of the holiness movement, which has ties to the Methodist background. And through that, though, he started a healing ministry, and traveling healing ministry. How many believe that our world needs healing? There's so many people out there that need healing. And we have the power and authority here to pray for healing, do we not? That's a need. That's one of the ways we can meet out there. So Parham was part of this movement, and he had started a Bible college based on his healing. He got fired up for Jesus. He got fired up because of this healing he received. And he started a Bible college. And you know what the purpose of the Bible college was? It was to go out and evangelize. It was to go out and pray for people, pray for healings. It was to bless people. It was to be a missionary. Because back then, I'm trying to do the math. It was 1898, so 130 years ago-ish. My math's really bad today. 120 years ago. Well, let's just say 120 years for easy math. 121 years. They believe that we are in the end of days, right? So their biggest thing that they wanted to do was to reach the lost. And they had this power in their pocket of healing that they knew that they could call in the name of Jesus and he would heal. He knew that there was needs that they could go out and meet. And so he taught them how to use their giftings and go out and meet these needs. He taught them to pray, to lay on of hands and pray and believe it by faith for healing for these people. And you know what? I'm going to dive way too deep, further than what I wanted to go. But what they did, we're going to talk about this more when we do conversations with the Holy Spirit. But the night of December 31st, the last night of 1900, they gathered in Topeka, Kansas, and they prayed. And they laid hands on a lady. And she was the first recorded lady in North America to speak in tongues. Agnes something. None of that's in my notes, so I'm just totally off track right now. But Agnes. And you know what? What that did, though, that was spurred this whole movement at Azusa Street, where people were just seeking God. They believed that faith had consequences. Good consequences. Not bad consequences. But faith had good consequences, and that we needed to believe by faith. And we need to take that faith that we have in here and take it out there. It's not just something for in here for us to hold on to, but it's something for us to share, isn't it? If we believe that Jesus can save us, if we believe that Jesus can heal us, if we believe that Jesus can make us whole, why would we want to keep it in here? Craziness. Doesn't it seem crazy for us to want to hoard it? You ever watch that show, Hoarders? They're hoarding all this junk. We're hoarding the good stuff. We can't be hoarders. Some of it's not junk, but they also keep rats. But we can't hoard the good stuff in here. We need to share the good stuff of Jesus. We need to share Jesus. Sorry for my rant. So now back to the sermon. So when you look at NCD, there are some ingredients that they believe, based on Scripture, that healthy churches have. The ingredients that we won't be using here, though, at this church, is manipulation. That's an ingredient in this cake that we're not going to use of evangelism. We're not going to manipulate people. We're not going to guilt people into coming to know Jesus. That's not what we're about. We're not going to be pushy. I don't think I've ever seen any of those three things in Jesus' ministry. Did you? Did I miss it in Scripture? No. I'm glad nobody agreed that those were in Scripture. I'm glad to say we don't need to use those either. This is too often used in churches, are these three pieces of the pie. And we're not about that. So I'm not sure if you've heard of the Lighthouse movement. If you have, awesome. But they're an evangelistic group. And they had these terms: pray, care, and share. Now these three ingredients, pray, care, and share, are the three tools we're going to use for our evangelism, our need-based evangelism. I don't think there's much better way to sum up need-based evangelism than pray, care, and share. And when we look at missions overseas, you find these three components. Often, though, you won't find all three being used. You'll find one of the three or two of the three. Often you'll see prayer and praying and supernatural dimensions. Or maybe you'll see caring, of people going and caring and ministering for people's needs and helping meet their needs, just basic helps. And sometimes you'll just see sharing the gospel. But could you imagine how effective we all would be and how effective missions would be if all three pieces were being used at the same time? If we were going out with our evangelism in prayer, prayerfully going out and ministering. And if we showed compassion and caring when we're going out and evangelizing with people. And if we shared the gospel while we're doing it. See, I think the world sometimes has this perspective of the church just wants my money. The church just wants this. The church just wants, they're just doing this because they feel that they need something from me. Or they want something from me. No, we don't. That's not why we evangelize. We evangelize because Jesus is coming soon. Isn't he? We believe that. Jesus is coming back. So we need to reach people. And we need to use these three pieces as kind of our building block. When Jesus ministered to people, did he pray for them? Yeah. Did he show compassion? Did he care for them? Did he meet their needs? And then he shared. He taught with parables. He told them to go share. Sometimes he told them not to tell anybody, but for the most part, those are the three pieces that Jesus used. Imagine people's sense of being drawn to him. Now, I want us to just pause for a moment and just imagine what happens here now in Rosetown. When there's this invisible force, this invisible power that people out there cannot explain, but they just feel drawn to churches, when they just feel drawn to Jesus. And then when they hear the message of Jesus, it immediately makes sense to them because they've already experienced the power of the gospel through the prayer of us, through our praying for them. That's why it's so important to pray for our community. Pray that Jesus opens doors. We need to be prepared for them. And when we're praying and they come in and they experience this powerful, I hate to use the word force, but this powerful force of Jesus, this powerful spiritual impact on their lives of Jesus and what he did for them and his love for them and of the Christian community. Man, that's pretty amazing. Now, there are Christians who will say, though, but I'm not an evangelist. I don't know how to minister to people. I don't know how to speak to people. I don't know how to win someone for Jesus. Do you know how to pray for people? Do you know how to care for people? And do you know how to share about what Jesus did in your life? Because that's oftentimes what people want to hear is, what did Jesus do for you? Sharing your testimony, isn't it? Sharing God's goodness in your life, isn't it? Look what Jesus did for me. He wants to do the same for you. Jesus died for my sins. He loves me because he wanted me to have relationship with God. He wants the same for you. He wants you to have relationship with God. He wants you to have access to the throne room of God, which is only through me, through Jesus, sorry, which is only through Jesus. I get excited, sorry. But this is exciting stuff. Evangelism, sharing Jesus and his goodness and how much he loves us is exciting, isn't it? It should get you guys fired up. But you're not, so, okay, let's go back to this. But I'm not an evangelist. Some Christians have that gift, some don't. But that doesn't let you off the hook from participating in the area of evangelism. We're all on the hook of this. Like I said, we all have those three, pray, share, and care. We all have the ability to do those three things, don't we? Don't we? Am I speaking to myself? We all have that. It's exciting. We should be high-fiving right now, guys. All of us have that awesome gift. We can all share, we can all pray, and we can all care for people. How much fun is that? Tell me. I'm going to make you guys high-five. We're all responsible for fulfilling of this great commission by investing for specific gifts into the area of evangelism. So in the area of evangelism, what is my gift? Maybe it's the gift of helps. Maybe it's the gift of organization and administration. Maybe it's prayer, specific prayer. Maybe it's counseling. Maybe it's encouragement. Maybe it's artistic creativity, music. Maybe it's praying for healings. Maybe you've been given the gift of healings. Maybe it's teaching. Maybe it's prophecy. Maybe it's any of the other gifts from Scripture. But your gifts are needed. You can't sit by the back table and say, sorry, John, I'm not pointing at you. There's the back table. You can't sit back with your feet up and say, well, I'm not an evangelist, so I guess I'm going to see how these fools play it out. No, we're all on the hook for this. Each and every one of us. This is our commission. This is our job. And it's exciting, guys. Evangelism is exciting. And this is going to be big for this town. And this is why it's going to be important for us to work together in the coming weeks to discover our gifts. And I know I've been really hammering this home for about 3 or 4 weeks, because I don't want you to think that we're not going to work with you on your gifts. We're going to be working. Don't worry. That is the plan. That is the purpose, and that's the vision. But we have to get through these other steps before we can jump. We can't jump around too much. Otherwise, you leave your notes, and then you don't know where you are, right? Now, need-oriented evangelism, that's something we've been trying to do here as a church, and I know you guys have been doing things like that for years, right? You guys have been a church that has tried to do things in the community, and we're going to continue to do that. We're going to work together, because this is one of those things that changes as society changes too. We need to find the holes. We need to find the gaps. And we need to fill the gaps in people's lives. We're not going to fill them with busyness, though. We're going to fill them with Jesus. We're going to fill these gaps with Jesus. And I'm not saying that they weren't being filled by Jesus before. I'm saying that's what we're going to continue to do. That's our focus as a church. Filling holes with Jesus. There's some big needs in this community. I'm sure if I asked you, what are some of the needs in the community? I could go to Ryan and he'd give me 5 or 6 things. I could go to Gary, he'd give me 5 or 6 more things. I could go to Mel and give me 5 or 6 more things. And it's like all of a sudden you've got 300 things and you're like, where do I even start? That's where prayer, care, and share are going to really come into play. And we're going to work through this. And we can't get ourselves running around everywhere, because we won't be effective either. But when we pray, when we care for people, and we share the goodness of Jesus, big things happen. And that's why when we use those things, it's not just evangelism, but it's need-oriented evangelism. We're providing need relief to our community. Isn't that exciting? Are you excited to provide need relief to this community? Because they need it, don't they? Just like at one point in our life, we needed it. Did we not? When we needed it, Christ provided. We're that provision for someone else now. And it's our job as believers, whether we have that evangelistic gift or not, to use the gifts that Jesus gave us, and to use them for his glory, right? Guys, I'm going to get water balloons up here and start hucking them. No, serious. I'm excited. So let's go back to Matthew 28. The last thing that was written about in the book of Matthew was Jesus telling us to what? To get to work. Get to work with evangelism, right? To get to work with mission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go and make disciples. Okay? That's fair. It's a one-time command, right? Isn't it? One-time command. Go! Make some disciples, folks. But what does Luke tell? Maybe Luke tells us we don't need to. Luke's later in the Bible than Matthew, so let's just use that as our chronological order, even though it's not chronological, but it's later in the Bible. So let's look what Luke says. So his master said, go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you find to come so that my house will be full, for none of those I first invited will get even the smallest taste of my banquet. It's telling us to go out and tell people about Jesus. Go out to the country lanes. Go everywhere and tell everyone you find to come to my house, to get in relationship with me, to get to know me. Because you're not going to go short when you come to heaven just because you told Sally, Sam, and Sue. There's enough for everyone. There's enough Jesus to go around. We need to go and we need to tell them and invite them to his house. We need to tell them they need a relationship with him. They need to participate in all that heaven has. We get to be part of that. Or Mark. Yeah, Matthew was the last instruction. It was the last instruction written in Matthew from Jesus, right? Why? Why was it the last thing? It was because this is what Jesus said just before he went to heaven. Jesus told the people to evangelize, to share the good news. And then Jesus went up. Some people know how to make a grand entrance. Jesus made a heck of a grand exit, too. Didn't he? Listen to this. And then he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. But anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name. They will speak in new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety. And they will drink anything poisonous. It won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick and they will be... What? Oh, awesome. Good. So that's that same Pentecostal basis is right here in Scripture. What we're going to get to live out and do and be a part of and what we can be doing already, right? And when the Lord Jesus finished talking with them, he was taken to heaven. What an exit. Man, like, I got goosebumps. Jesus just went to heaven before he left. He said, guys, get to work. Get out there. Get casting out demons. I gave you authority to pray for the sick. Now go do it. Right? Isn't that what he said? I gave you authority to lay hands on people. Go. Tell people about me. Tell them my story. Share. Tell them. Because there's room. There's room in heaven for all of you. For every single person on this earth, there's room. I want them to come to me. People say, I don't want religion. You don't have to tell them religion. We're not selling religion here. We're selling them on Jesus and his goodness. We're telling them how amazing our Jesus is. We're offering them power and authority to praise his name, to speak in others' lives, to pray for healing. We're offering relationship with the creator of the universe through Jesus Christ. That's exciting. That should be something we can get behind. Right? Can you get behind that? I think my voice is almost gone. Acts 1. Thank you. Acts 1, 7 to 9. It says, he replied, the Father alone has authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Power to do what we just read about from Mark. You will receive power to be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere you go, in Jerusalem and throughout Judea, in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After saying this, he was taken up in a cloud. Jesus was taken to heaven. Same story, retold again. That's the same story as what we just read about in Mark 16, 15 to 19. You will receive power, so let's know that. We will receive power, right? That's what we read in Acts. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. When you're saved, you receive power. And now when you have power, I'm really yelling. I'm excited, guys. I'm so excited for this. And I want you to get excited and stirred. When you receive power, then you will speak in other languages. You'll speak in tongues. You'll be able to pray for miracles. You will see miracles. You will be able to cast out demons. You'll be able to tell people about Jesus and his goodness. Man, that's exciting. So now when we read Acts and we see, it says, to the ends of the earth. When we say the ends of the earth, let's reread this again. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere you go. In Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and in Rosetown. That's the ends of the earth. Fisk, Milden, Saskatoon, North Battleford, Outlook, Bigger, wherever you say, wherever you go. That's the ends of the earth. We can tell Jesus everywhere we go. Darcy. Trying to think of other small towns around here. There's so many. Anywhere we go. Elrose. What's that? It's exciting. Kindersley. We can tell people about Jesus everywhere we go. To the ends of the earth. Because he will, or we will be his witnesses. We need to make disciples. We need to make disciples. We need to bring ministry where we go. We need to pray for people. We need to pray for salvations. We need to pray for healings. We need to pray that the Spirit of God will move in people's lives in a new and real way. I'm excited to see the Spirit of God moving in people's lives in this town. I pray you guys are too, because evangelism is necessary, and these are the pieces of evangelism that we need to do. Pray. Care. And share. Thank you. You guys just got scared because I said water balloons. I'm going to invite the music team up. But pray, care, and share. Guys, we need you. We need you to get activated. Activated in your gifts, which I know, we're going to figure out your gifts if you don't know. We're going to work together. The gifts of helps, the gifts of organization or administration, the apostleship, the prayers, the intercessors, the counseling people, the people that are gifted in knowledge, words of knowledge, words of encouragement, the artistic people, exhortation, faith, healings, teaching, prophecy, discernment, giving, leadership, mercy, shepherding, serving, ministering, wisdom, evangelism. Your gifts are needed. All of them. We don't function without all these gifts. Just like I'm not a body without my arms, head, neck, any of that. I need all the pieces to be a full body, do I not? We need all of you to be effective. Your gifts are needed. Prayer. Praying for supernatural dimensions, for supernatural movement, for healings. We need Holy Spirit guidance, Holy Spirit direction, and Holy Spirit power. Right? We need care. We need to be caring for people, ministering to their needs. That's in here and out there. But we need to be showing care and sharing the gospel, sharing Jesus. Sharing what he's done in her life. We need all of these three pieces to be effective evangelism. I need you to be on board. And you know what, guys? More than I need you, this town needs Jesus. This town needs Jesus. This area needs Jesus. Your neighbor needs Jesus. Like we all needed Jesus at one time. They need Jesus. And you know what? When we move effectively in evangelism, when we pray, when we care, and when we share, they're going to experience Jesus. And we're going to move forward in power and authority and faith together. And I'm excited to do that together. Would you guys stand? We're going to pray. God, right now we come before you, Father. And we just ask, God, that you would just continue to open up floodgates, open up doors, open up opportunities, Father, for us to minister for you. God, I pray that you would open our mind, open our eyes to what you have, to the power and the authority that you've given us. Father, I pray for each and every person here that goes to work. God, to each and every person that maybe goes to coffee, to a restaurant. Father, that you would give us Holy Spirit opportunities and Holy Spirit power to go and minister to our town. God, that we would walk in that authority. We would walk in that sonship that you've given us. And Father, that we would move forward in victory. That we would move forward in faith. And that we would move forward knowing that you are in control. And that you've got an amazing plan. Not even a great plan, but an amazing, mind-blowing plan, God, for Rosetown. And we thank you for that. We thank you for the people that we know that are going to be coming through the doors. God, we pray right now for every house in Rosetown, God, that you would knock down any spiritual walls. Father, that you would kick down doors that are being blocked from allowing you to come into that home, God. Father, I pray that hearts would become broken for you and that you would supernaturally lead them to church, Father. God, we pray for this town. God, we pray for the other churches of this town, God. Father, that you would give them opportunities, Father. God, this town needs you, Father, and we pray that you would bring them to church. God, I pray that you would bring us to them. And Father, I pray for lives to be changed right now. I pray, Father, that you would just give us authority or continue to give us authority and let us know the authority that we walk in, Father. God, that we wouldn't doubt, but we would just move forward in faith and victory in all things. In all things. In all things. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name. Mary, would you lead us in one song?
Let's go out today singing about the name of Jesus and the power that it carries in every part of our lives.